Hi guys, welcome back to Strength Stories with Jory. Today we have on fellow Granite personal trainer, Nicole Jordan. Nicole, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So just wanted to start with giving people a quick backstory of your fitness background, kind of get an idea of how you came into being a personal trainer.
Sure. Well, I actually graduated with a business finance degree and I was in banking for about 10 years. I did mortgages, so I have a completely different background. but after I had, I've always worked out. I actually worked out with a trainer in my 20s who really helped me learn how to strength train and learn how to eat and put food together. And it changed my life. So it was always kind of in the back of my mind. After I had my kids, I kind of went back to some of those things that he had taught me. I was pretty sick after I had them. This was about 11 years ago. And so I just kind of went on this long journey to try to figure out what I needed to do to feel better and lose weight and just start sleeping again and all of these things. After I had my second child, I was really interested in learning about macronutrients and trying to figure out how to get the baby weight off and feel good and start moving again. So I just decided to get my nutrition certification just because I thought I was already into
just
it.
Be a nerd and, just...
and I wanted to learn about it. So I did that and I kind of started helping some friends. This was like 6 years ago and kind of dabbling in it. And then I just decided, hey, I'm going to start, you know, coaching some people. I started pro bono. And so I just started with the nutrition. And then what I found after about a year and a half was that I really wanted to be in control of people's workouts because it was just kind of a full picture thing. And so I actually started teaching classes at Granite. But in order to do that, I had the option of getting my group fitness certification or my personal trainer certification. So I went for the hard one because, you know, I thought, hey, maybe I'll use it. And started teaching classes. And that just kind of... I liked that, but I really enjoyed the one-on-one interaction. So I decided to kind of add on the training, I don't know, it'd be 4 years in January, to my coaching and just kind of package it up and start presenting kind of like a online coaching, hybrid nutrition coaching package for people. And then it just kind of went from there. That was, so I've been doing it for a couple years now. But yeah, it started with the nutrition and then spiraled into the training because I saw how important it was to have control over that element and how great and tangible it was for somebody who was trying to make changes to have a really structured plan and to have the accountability that comes along with it.
I mean, it's definitely something you and I have talked about. I don't even know how many times. Like, can you explain why it's so important to like understand what they are doing from a strength training side to also be able to help them with their nutrition?
Absolutely. I mean, there really are two completely separate different things, or separate things, but they're so closely tied together, which seems it's hard to explain. But what you're really looking at with the strength training is most of the time people will they'll start out a little too fast out the gate, and so what happens is they get injured, or they get discouraged, or they try to go back to something that maybe they did in the past at the level they were doing it in the past. Which leads to immediate burnout, frustration, injury, fatigue, and or feeling lost. And so the strength training, having a plan that's customized for your equipment, your schedule, also figuring out what's an appropriate expectation for the client based on personal conversations. So, you know, if somebody only has a certain amount of time, we're not going to give them five workouts a week at an hour apiece if they've done nothing. So really finding what would be an appropriate stepping stone and then stepping it through the process. And I mean, I tell most of my clients, we really want you to get away with as least possible as you have to do to get the results that you want. So if I have control over it, I can come up with something that's appropriate, that optimizes their time the most efficiently and targets the muscle groups that I think are going to have the biggest return for whatever the goal may be. Usually my clients have weight loss goals. Some of them don't. But we want to be doing the strength training in a progressive, controlled manner. So we're not starting with too much or sometimes starting with too little and then not progressing too quickly.
The person who's doing like the same reps for the same sets for 6 months and the same
exercise. It seems like it's one extreme. Either they go and they'll do the same thing over and over again, or they'll go bananas and instantly have an injury. It kind of just seems to go one direction.
A lot of people base like where they're starting their strength training program on based on where they want to be and not where they are right now.
Exactly.
Like, I just tell people, like, if you've been lifting for 3-4 years, like, yeah, we're going to start with a lot more aggressive point, but you've been sitting on the couch for 6 years, it's going to look a little less aggressive initially, at least.
Well, and the hard part is really explaining or explaining that it's okay to start slow.
Mm-hmm.
And we are such an instant gratification culture, especially with social media and fitness right now. It's just insane what you're supposed to be doing, how much you're supposed to be doing. And it's cool that strength training has come into the spotlight. Mm-hmm. But what it also does is sets unrealistic expectations for people who want to get started. So it's like, you know, you're not just going to go start deadlifting 200 pounds immediately, like, and you haven't been doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
So the stepping into it and the building up, it, I think without a coach, it almost always leads to boredom.
Yeah.
And so just that's essential.
Well, and there's, and I did a post about this a while back about, like, one of the coolest things about having a coach is knowing when you're done. I think a lot of people, because, like, they go to the gym, like, okay, I did my bench, I did this, I did that. And they're like, well, what do I do next? And they never actually feel like they've done enough.
Right.
So you don't get that satisfaction. Like, I completed this workout. So I was like, I probably should have done some more abs, or I should have done arms or whatever.
Right.
But, like, when someone writes you a workout, you're like, okay, well, that was the last thing. Like, I'm done. And knowing that, I think, is very important mentally for people.
Well, if you're confident in what you're doing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Then you'll continue doing it.
Exactly.
And so if somebody who's a professional and has experience can tell you what you need to do, then you're going to execute it. And most of the time, if you execute something long enough, you will see results.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the fact that someone doesn't feel confident in the plan they set up for themselves, so they just won't do it long enough to get the results.
They give it a half-ass effort for a few weeks, and they're like, well, it's not working, and I think it should work. And also, again, also having a coach can tell you what's a reasonable timeline on this. Because they give it 3 weeks, and like, well, I haven't seen any changes. They don't have anyone to ask to verify, like, should I have seen changes by now?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So they just assume they've messed it up, and they're like, well, whatever, I'll just try again in 6 months or at New Year's or whatever. And
Or you couldn't figure out a move or whatever. So you think, oh, because I can't do this move, I can't do this entire workout. And then there's maybe a really easy substitution or we can talk through it, or just something small that you need to do.
Oh, exactly. I always tell people, it's like every exercise we have in here is replaceable. It's like, if you can't do a split squat, we will find a variation. You know, what any exercise it is, there's always regressions, there's always progressions. If it's too easy, we'll make it harder. If it's too hard, we'll make it easier.
Right.
But yeah, if you don't, you don't know what you don't know.
Right, exactly. But it's the confidence that that gets people distracted, or people get distracted by another plan to purchase or a different exercise to try.
Yeah.
And so if they can't stick with it, it's really pointless to start.
Yeah. Well, again, I think that is the hugest thing of having buy-in, because especially with social media now, we see 7,000 fitness things being advertised towards today. And of course, you click on one, the algorithm figures it out. It sends you a billion more.
Yeah.
So if you're not fully bought into your first one, then you grab onto the second thing and the third thing. And eventually you have this like half-assed amalgamation of programs that you don't really know how to combine together, and you're just combining 17 things. So then when if it does work, you don't know what's working. When it presumably doesn't work, you have no idea why.
Right. Well, and you're gathering data. So if you're working with a coach that knows what they're doing, they're gathering data on you. And it's not only about numbers or, you know, how much muscle is being gained or whatever. It's about how the client is responding, the behavior response to it.
Yeah.
So if you notice somebody's missing every single fourth workout, then probably what's going to have to happen is they're going to need to scale back, and they're going to you need to tell them it's okay, and then they can keep moving forward. You can still get results, but like understanding that and reading into that mindset is a big part of the coaching relationship.
Like, I've had people who mentally do better, like same thing. Like, we're starting with 4 workouts a week, they're only getting 3. And they almost want to quit. And then as soon as I just like delete that 4th workout, they get the same 3 workouts in, but now they feel again, because they feel that sense of completion.
Right.
And now it's like, okay, now I know I'm doing the right thing. So we can always add on that 4th day later, again, once things are ready. But it's amazing how often people will quit just because of a 4th day that they didn't need to be doing.
Right.
Just because they felt, well, now I'm failing because I'm not getting them all in.
Right. Or, you know, it's a lot of times when I sit down with a client, I have a question on my initial questionnaire that says, how many workouts do you want? And I do that intentionally, not because I don't have a plan, but because I want to see what they say. And most of the time, the answer is always 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And that per week.
Yeah.
And so I most likely wouldn't do that unless the client had been training hard like that already. But it's interesting to say, you know, we could probably get away with 3. And the relief that people feel at that, it's a big deal, because it's like, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can fit this into my life. It doesn't have to be extreme.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can always add more.
Oh, exactly.
Later.
Like you said, it's all about the data, where especially like I've noticed, like, say females with bench press usually need a higher frequency. at a certain point, yeah, we might have to add on that day, but it's like, if we can keep making gains on once a week or twice a week, it's like, why would we use that now? Because if once you've been benching, say, four times a week, you're probably not going to get results from two, but like we can always keep adding on more later.
Sure.
Like, why
sure.
why use it as a beginner when you're benching the bar or whatever?
Well, and that's why custom programming is so important, because it's like you're gathering data, you're mm-hmm. testing it, and then you're seeing the results, and then you're making an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
If it's all cookie cutter, you don't have that opportunity.
Yep.
So you're not going to optimize your training program.
No, exactly. And as I said, you're throwing in all these random things. You never get a chance to figure out what's driving stuff up, what's not.
Right.
And like, there's been, actually had a client recently where, and she's had some on and off back stuff like kind of her whole life. And we realized, because we were using just easy back extensions in her warm up, and I gave her a new warm up, all of a sudden her back started feeling worse. It's like, so we just brought that back in and her back feels better. And it's like, it's not even hard. It's just like body weight back extensions, which she did this like 200 pounds. That's nothing for her. Yeah. We realized for her, that matters. If we were just all over the place, we'd never catch trends like that.
Right,
that
like one
sometimes
tweak.
It's injury, sometimes it's strength, sometimes it's whatever, but it's like realizing, oh, they always feel better when I do this.
Right.
Like it just might be one random exercise that that person almost needs to have in their programming.
Right.
And you just spot those little things. Going back to online, why do you feel that that's such a beneficial way for people to train?
I would say two things top of mind would be cost and time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have online training, that means that you do have somebody writing your workouts for you. They've done an assessment for you. Well, usually in most cases, mm-hmm. done an assessment, know what your weaknesses, what you need to work on, know the details. But then they can go and write three or four workouts for you that you can go do on your own.
Mm-hmm.
And then the trainer doesn't have to be there. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, some people tack on in-person sessions and stuff, and that's fine. But ultimately, the base cost and the base time commitment is your own time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the flexibility of it is huge. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to schedule a time to meet with somebody to mm-hmm. come in and train. Now, if somebody's brand new and has never trained before, we would always want them to start out with some in-person sessions.
Mm-hmm.
But for somebody that has, is either very committed to video form review mm-hmm. or has experience, most of the time online training is a really good fit,
mm-hmm.
as long as they communicate and are giving good videos to their
and
coach.
I still like, again, I agree. Like if I have someone who's a total beginner, I'd prefer to have at least some in-person sessions. But even then it's like, again, if they're willing to do enough video work, we can just the lowest common or like the easiest possible variation for each thing and then just build off of those.
Right,
Again, everything in training is just building off one thing to the next. And it's like their beginning program might look stupid basic, but it's like we can always expand on that as they get more confident. And you're like, okay, you've graduated past this. Now we can handle that. And figuring out those progressions for them as they go forward.
Well, and then, you know, it's as far as online training, it's just people, I think what I really like about it is that it gives control back to the client
mm-hmm.
instead of someone just leading you through a workout. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but what happens is they start to understand
mm-hmm.
training.
Mm-hmm.
And so they actually are learning about what they need to do
mm-hmm.
Because maybe they can't coach forever. And mm-hmm. maybe at some point they're going to need to write their own workouts or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe they won't do it perfectly, but at least they're inputting their data. They're reading through the workouts. They're understanding sets, reps. How much weight am I plugging mm-hmm. in? They're not just blindly letting somebody else follow or, you know, mm-hmm. do it. And not that that's what every in-person session looks like, but sometimes it can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think that just leads to more ownership and mm-hmm. then that people stick with it.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of benefit to, participating in it mm-hmm. more.
Like I said, there is definitely a confidence of like, wow, like I loaded my own bar. I did this or I adjusted the seat on this machine. And just those, again, things that may seem small, especially to like an advanced gym person, but realizing like how huge of a step that is for them.
Well, yeah, you really don't realize until you get, you know, we kind of lose sight of it because we're constantly talking about this and doing this and at the gym. But when you get somebody that's new to it and they're like, you know, I did that by myself or I figured out that machine and you're like, you know, that is really cool that they felt empowered to do that. And I really want people to feel empowered. You know, if they need me, that's great. But the point is to help somebody learn how to take care of their body.
What
you
I
know?
Think we'll find, too, is, like, you end up with a lot of your, like, long-term clients who, like I said, could reasonably train themselves, but they still keep having to train because they'd still prefer to have someone else do this. Like, they can do it in a pinch if they want.
Sure.
That's also why, like, some, you know, we train other coaches and things like that, too. Like, I think of, like, Paulie. I mean, good Lord, the guy's, like, a national-level bodybuilder. He knows how to train.
Yeah.
But he'd still rather have someone else handle those decisions so that it's not always something he has to decide. Or even just like things that you'd avoid. Like I say, like I hate step ups with a passion. If I'm programming for myself, I'm never ever doing step ups. But yeah. if I have a coach who's like, hey, you really suck at these, we should do them, I'm going to do them. I think that's true for a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely. And you just, it's something to delegate mm-hmm. in this crazy world. You know, like we all have a lot of responsibility, jobs, kids, mm-hmm. all sorts of stuff. So, you know, if you can delegate something to somebody who's going to hold you accountable and mm-hmm. make sure you're doing it right, I think it's a pretty good
I've
use
said,
of resources.
Like, amounts withstanding, like I'm always fine with trading time for money or trading money for time. Like I'd always rather have my time back.
Right.
And that is one thing that online training gets you. It's like, yes, there is a cost, but it's like, you don't have to research your own workouts. You don't have yeah. to write your own program. You don't have to do all these other things. And you have someone to bounce all these things off of. So you get so much of your time back. It's like, I'm Absolutely. Never fixing anything electrical in my house. Like I know I could go on YouTube and figure it out the same right. way someone could with training. I'd rather spend $300 and have my afternoon back. Like,
right. Well, and you know, it's one of those things, like it's your health.
Mm-hmm.
It's really important. Mm-hmm. So having somebody who knows what they're doing helping you is, it's essential.
Kind of matters.
Yeah.
What would you look at as far as, and we've kind of discussed this degree, but like potential red flags for someone who, with online training, like what are some things where you'd tell someone like, oh, I'm not sure that this is for you or for you yet, maybe?
Usually if somebody has a lot of like initial fears,
mm-hmm.
like, I don't like this part of the gym floor. I'm uncomfortable with this. I don't know, like, as expressing something initially, immediately about discomfort, I would definitely suggest doing some in-person sessions first. Mm. Knee injuries, I like to meet with people in person and at least go through just basic movement patterns and make sure they're moving well.
Mm.
Other kinds of, like, back injuries and stuff like that. A lot of injuries.
Yeah.
I would say we really need to, like, at least...
Because you're probably going to have to make more... You might be making more changes in the moment versus, like, something they're going to stick with for a while.
Exactly. Like, if somebody is... Or, you know, even sometimes someone will be confident and they'll start out and the videos will come in and I'll be like, you need to come in. Because we just want to make sure you're moving well. We don't want to build off of...
A bad
off
base.
Of these bad... This is not good. So we need to... We need to back up, and it's fine. And usually it's just a couple. It doesn't need to go completely in person, but you can tack on, which is great. It's super fun. Some in-person sessions, make sure you're moving well, and then continue on with the online training. So I think the hybrid option is great, too. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, red flags would be injuries and then just obvious lack of confidence on the floor. Yeah.
I say my big one is always, like, the accountability factor. Like, some people I don't – like, if they don't have someone there meeting them each time, I feel like they're not going to get their workouts in.
Sure, yeah.
It's again, I feel at this point, most injuries, I feel like I can work around from a virtual degree. But it's like, if the people who aren't going to show up unless they're someone they're waiting for them, like, that's the hardest one for me. Like, some people, are you just they just keep, you know, all red X's each week. And you're like, okay, like, they need someone there. Otherwise, they're never going to make it happen.
Sure. But, I mean, how would you know that until that you they started?
Yeah, exactly. You just ask them.
Are you not going to show up?
Yeah. How serious are you?
Yeah.
I mean, I know there are trainers who do like the 1 to 10, like how committed are you?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always like the idea of that, but I don't always know, like, because I feel like most people are like, well, I'm a 9, I'm a 10. And it's like, are you though? Like,
well, and sometimes they don't know until they try to get into it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. One of the last questions I had is, why do you feel that some women, and thankfully this is becoming a much smaller thing, but why are someone still afraid to strength train?
Oh, well, there's the canned response of bulky. That they're afraid they're going to look like a man.
Yeah.
And I mean, anybody that's looking at anything on...
How many mannish clients do you have? No, I'm
kidding. Not only the ones that are actually men. that would be one. I don't get that very often anymore.
No, it's...
I really don't. The only... Yeah.
It's, I would say, like, compared to 10 years ago, it is noticeably smaller. It's... I'll still sometimes have, it's like, certain, very certain lifts. Some will seem like, oh, I don't really... It's like...
Yeah.
But overall, I feel like most women now realize that. It's maybe just because it's been beaten into our heads by TV and all other forms of media now. Like, finally, people get it.
Yeah, I don't think there's fear of... I think that the strength training has been recognized as something that needs to be done, and now it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
But what hasn't probably changed as much is letting go of some of the other things that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe endless hours of cardio and things like that. Not that you can't do that. That has benefits also, and everyone should... you know, do that too, but it's just, it almost becomes too overwhelming because now they think they need to do so many things and how are we going to do all of this? That's probably where we're at. That's probably where the problem lies now is picking.
which it comes back to the same thing you were talking about, the people who are doing, who want to do 5-6 days a week, people are convinced they can't get it done on such a small schedule.
Sure.
Like, it's like, well, I'll just add to this. And it's like, no, I'm like, so I always tell people, like, when they're joining my class, like, if you're going to do 3 times a week in my class, if you're already doing something else, we need to at least cut back some of that, at least temporarily, until we see how you respond.
Yeah.
Because you, 99% chance you don't need all of what you're currently doing.
Sure. Yeah. So I think that there's some confusion there, but I think most women have grabbed onto the idea of strength training. Mm. Whether the translation between adding muscle and what that really means is there yet? No, maybe not. Mm. But I think we're on our way.
That is actually one of my favorite things in general too, is just getting people to reduce the amount of fitness they're doing and actually get better results. It's crazy how often you'll see someone do it where like they've just been plateaued forever. It's like, let's actually cut back a workout, and that seems insane. And it's honestly hard for a lot of people to relinquish that. And then also it's like, oh, hey, your bench is moving and deadlifts are moving or whatever the lift is, and or they just feel better in general. Mm-hmm. Or they actually have time to handle their nutrition now or whatever.
Sure,
it is.
Sure. Yeah. What's happening in the background? Yeah. Where is that time being allocated? Or recovery or reducing stress.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Like, go for a damn walk.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So to wrap up, I had a couple of semi rapid fire questions.
Uh oh.
none of these are like knowledge questions.
Okay.
What muscles are worked? No, I'm just kidding. Eccentrically, no. What is your favorite lift to train in the gym and why? So you don't have to be smart for this
question. I like bench press. Yeah? I think I like training people on that.
Bench is cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I can explain it well. Mm. You know? Deadlift, I think bench and deadlift were something I struggled with. So it's something that's easy for me to try to help someone through because I needed a lot of help with it.
Yeah. And that even goes again way back to when you're talking about like people being confident. One of my favorite things is when I like, if I'm busy helping someone in my class and I watch someone else, like having to help someone else with, you know, whatever, a deadlift or something like that, because then they learn it so much better. I think usually the lifts that we were the worst at are the ones we become the best coaches at.
Yeah.
Because we just had to delve so much deeper into to understand them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it just makes it easier to coach.
Absolutely.
So on the opposite side then, what is your least favorite lift to train?
Chin up.
Really? Okay. Not your thing.
It's hard. It's hard. It's kind of a fitness trend right now for women to want to get chin-ups.
Hey, that is a fucking great trend. Do not kibosh this.
It's
trend.
Great. I love it, but it's hard when you have someone in a weight loss phase and they're trying to gain strength and just trying to focus on so many things at once. It's challenging.
I will say, the strength output part of it can be hard when you're in a weight loss phase, but I always tell people that I like chin-ups and push-ups as a weight loss goal because they should help each other out. Like, obviously, if you lose 25 pounds, you just don't have as much lift up to the bar, whereas, your bench might tank during a weight loss phase, and that's just part of what it is. But
we all know you love chin-ups.
I know. It's kind of my thing. So last question. What is your favorite snack that is not calorie-friendly?
Puppy chow.
Boom. Easy. Yeah, that's a good one.
Didn't even have to think about it.
Child of the 90s.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. Oof. I don't know if you'd call it a snack. I would just say pizza.
Pizza, yeah.
I just love pizza. I can always eat pizza. Pizza or literally any dessert, basically.
Yeah.
Awesome. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks, you guys. See you next week.